Epic Church Online.
Let's eat. There'll be lots of, we're continuing our series where we're talking about how to kind of reboot how we operate as a church. And so there will be lots of opportunity to share and discuss today as well. And really for the next 2 weeks, as we wind up the year and this series, and we do some prayer and thinking on the 16th in service about who do we want to be as we move forward from here. So we're going to talk. There'll be plenty to say, I'm sure. I hope your Thanksgiving was fine. Mine was kind of eh. somewhere between Calabasas and Santa Barbara, it occurred to me as I sat in the car at night that I was probably going to have to start talking more to Gia as she rode along next to me. It's been a tiring couple months for us at our house. Many of you know all of the drama at her work. All of you know the drama at my work. But it's been a long season. And as the days have grown shorter, so has my mood. Sometimes I can get a little sullen around the house. And the holidays, it's like they bring out the best and the worst at the same time. I so want to have a joyful, wonderful family experience, but the reality of trying to get everybody in the car and the dog, and you know, you feel all those pressures. Have I locked all of the doors? Is the house going to burn down or will it be robbed? What do we need to bring? Did we cook the right? You know, you've all these feelings. The holidays are about feelings. And that just, when you're tired, you know, it's hard. And as often happens, I was a little irritated by the time everybody got in the car. We had not been moving out as the smoothly oiled machine I was anticipating. And so instead of saying any words, instead of saying any bad words, I just didn't say anything at all. And just kind of, I can't deal. Drive. Traffic didn't help. But really, truth be told, I could tell, I know, that just around the house in the last month, I think I have been sharing less. Just talking through things less around the house. Because you know how when you get tired, like, you get to that point where it's just easier to disengage. Just easier not to deal with stuff. I've been there. I've hit that point. That's exactly what was going on in the car. Didn't really want to connect or talk through things or anything like that. It was easier just to kind of mumble under my breath at everything that had gone on in the day because everybody in the car thought I was mumbling about the traffic in front of us. So I just chose not to talk about it. The problem, though, is that I married a therapist. And so things don't go very long in our house before somebody says, how does that make you feel? And I have to share. So after an hour or two of traffic, I knew, okay, I need to say something, maybe apologize. I don't know what happened. Let's just talk through. I don't even know what exactly went wrong, but it was like, okay, we're just going to have to talk through. That was an unpleasant departure from the house experience. And so we talked about it, and road trips are great for that because there's nowhere to run for several hours as we're headed about 4 hours up north. It's not my natural inclination to want to always share and talk through these things. And I like to think that I've grown a little bit and that I head towards those conversations now instead of running away from them often. And so I tried to comfort myself that, okay, this Thanksgiving kind of felt like a little step backwards. I shouldn't have waited till Santa Barbara before I said something. It should have happened at Norwalk. Norwalk seems like a reasonable and faithful, I should have said something by then. I tried to take comfort in the fact that at least I was able to choose at some point into talking and dealing with how everything went down. Reconnecting in the midst of tension and fatigue. So, okay, it wasn't perfect, but I am trying to step into healing and healthy habits and processing and connection. And I've been thinking a lot about that over the last couple months for myself personally. What does healing look like? And I've been thinking about it a lot for us as a church as well. About how old wounds are healed and new healthy characters developed. We've had to wrestle with a lot of stuff over the past few months in all of our changes. Healing is one of our central values that we tried to build the church around: community, justice, and healing. In practice, I think the hope is that church community is a therapeutic community where we minister the love of Christ to one another and we receive one another and listen and care and build up. Community and justice, these things don't happen without deep personal healing. And community and justice, I think, set the stage for more healing. And so in our attempt to talk about some of the new ways we want to operate as a church going forward this morning as we consider healing, I want to begin with a brief piece of scripture I hope you're familiar with. So would you stand, please, for the reading of Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning at verse 20. My child, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. It turns out that the people we meet every day, on the street, at work, in the mirror, are just not as simple as we appear. That there's this amazing alchemy that goes on in the human soul of emotion and thought and behavior and patterns and the past and hopes for the future. And they all kind of come together and we see the top of that. But the people that we see in the mirror in every day are the result of 1,000 different factors. It's a difficult thing, I think, to know yourself deeply in our day and age. And yet, most cultures, I don't know enough to actually say that. So let me say this. Many cultures have people who attest to the necessity, their sayings about knowing thyself, being introspective, understanding one's own heart. In this proverb, the instructor that is recorded here is teaching about wisdom and the key to a godly life. And the instructor in Proverbs 4 says, listen to this. Listen to my words. Hold them in your heart. Above all else, guard it. Guard your heart. Because it's the source of everything that you do. Everything you do flows from your heart. Jesus says essentially the same thing in the Gospels of Mark and Matthew. The Pharisees press him. Why don't you look like you are trying to be outwardly holy the ways we expect? Why aren't you doing the things that we want you to do? They are focused on this external reality, and Jesus redirects their focus and says, it's what comes out of a person that defiles them. It's from within, from the human heart, evil intentions come. And I think he's saying something very similar. Everything you do flows from your heart. Guard it. It is your heart that has led you to the life you have now. There are absolutely circumstances way beyond our control. But it is how our hearts engage and respond to those things that have led us, in part, to the places we are. Even the most cerebral, dispassionate person who is incredibly logical in the world is ultimately ruled by emotion and desire and habits formed deep inside them, whether or not they're aware. And so Proverbs says, above all else, guard your heart. Everything flows from it. It's a strong injunction. Above all else, guard your heart. What's the most important thing that you should do? Well, above all else, guard your heart. Over the past month, we have been praying and reading 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week, right? That was kind of our, we're trying to pray and seek God's face together as a church, asking what kinds of things he has in store for us as Epic. And so this morning, I want to offer up for discussion two ways that I think we need to pursue healing. We need to pursue healing and need to change the way we think about healing so that we can guard our hearts. So two issues that we are going to have to confront as a church, two ways to guard our hearts in the coming year. The first thing I want to put out there for discussion is simply this. Pursuing healing must become a normal part of Christian discipleship for us. That may seem obvious to some, but I don't think it always is. There's a question that stirs kind of restlessly underneath the skin of almost every church. Every church wrestles with this question. They may not be aware of it, but every church is asking, are we supposed to change the world or ourselves? And you can kind of get a feel for how each church answers that question. Are we supposed to change the world or ourselves? The right answer, of course, is both. That the kingdom of God comes for the world and we're a part of it. But that's a question. In our earliest days as a church, before I was here, I feel like I caught the tail end of it. So this is all hearsay. Could be wrong. Epic spent a lot of time talking about healing of emotions, of grappling with your own personal history in the past. Kevin would always joke with me about how he felt like in his earliest days as a pastor, he was just the poster boy for Asian Americans who will talk about family dysfunction up front. And he said, yeah, that's kind of how I made my hay back in the day, and we wanted that to be a part of the church, where we would be willing to talk about those dynamics and talk about family things and work through them. And that is how I think as a church we came to value hearing one another's story so much. So we tried to make space for people to talk about this thing. And I think that as we learned to share our stories and listen to one another, we became much very deeply concerned about these broader things and injustices in the world that affected our stories. And I think that over time, we really developed a desire to change the world. But I do worry that at times we've lost sight of the need for the gospel to change us too. That we need healing individually as a church, and that that is part of how you change the world at the very least. That our character matters. That the call to follow Jesus is a call to continually work on our own character. There is not one giant task in the world that if we fixed that problem in the world, we then somehow would be holy. It's an easy thing to do. I think that in our history as a church, we have worked so hard for everyone to be able to tell their story because it's a profoundly healing thing, because the world is so full of rejection. We have worked hard to minister the love and acceptance of God. God loves you just as you are. You are not a mistake. Not because of your skin, your gender, your orientation. These are not, no, the world is cruel. And there's a deep and profound healing that we have to continue to offer one another, make space for one another, offer grace, acceptance, and love. But we also need to get better ourselves too. We are not supposed to be static. It's an old Christian tension. Come, Jesus loves you just as you are. That's true. And there's more. We have to grow, change, develop. We need to get better individually, corporately. None of us have quite approached the apex of Christ-likeness so closely that we no longer need to grow anymore. Some of us may be close. I won't name names. That would just make it awkward. But we need to grow and change. If all of our energy is expended justifying ourselves as we are now, there's just not much time or energy left to work on changing, healing, growing. Until you love like Jesus, your humanity requires perfecting. Healing looks like a transformation, as Scripture says, into the very likeness of Christ. We are changing into who Christ would be if he were us. And so a healed, healthy, fully functioning human heart should bear fruits of the Spirit. Love easily, forgive easily, welcome easily, care intensely, accept willingly. And anything less than that is less than the kind of humanity that Jesus came to offer. And here's why that's important. When we talk about healing, we often talk about, oh, I've got this problem, I've got this deficit, and I need to be healed. All growth, all healing is growth, and all growth is healing. Because to follow Jesus means that the normal part of your life is growing into Christ-likeness. And sometimes that means, yeah, there are wounds and pains and terrible things that we have to process through, that we carry with us, that we want God to touch and relieve. And there are also ways that we need to grow and improve and learn new patterns and healthy ways of engaging one another in the world around us. And all of that is healing until we reach the full measure of Christ and we love like him. And so I think we need to accept that pursuing healing is the baseline normal state of discipleship. If you want to follow Jesus, understand this is what you are committing to: a lifetime of growth, a lifetime of pursuing healing. Guard your heart above all else. Guard your heart. And so that's something worth discussing. I'm going to ask very awkwardly if you would stand up in your pew and go find somebody you don't know in a pew you're not standing in, if you're able to, and introduce yourself. Groups of maybe three, because you guys know we like to talk and have questions, and we're going to mix it up. Introduce yourself, and here is the question to share a little bit about for just a couple minutes. How are you growing? Does it feel like healing, or does it feel like you have this growth edge you're improving on? Take a minute with your friends that you meet, your new friends in groups of three, and share about that. We'll come back in a minute. Just know I'm savoring the awkwardness. This is one of my favorite things to watch. It's a glorious uncomfortability. (Laughter) K-Pax? This says 2 minutes ago.
Why are you checking?
It just buzzed, man. I had to ask. Well, let's come back together. We'll shake off some tryptophan together. I'll say this. I hope that's an engaging discussion, because I think that that's supposed to be the kind of thing that's normal in a church, where we talk about these things in these ways and what growth looks like. For time's sake, let me hurry us to talk about the second question I think we need to think about, a challenge as we think about community moving forward. The second issue that we need to think about, figure out, I don't know, practice, is that I think as a church we need to figure out how to bring our issues into relationship with one another in the midst of community. What do I mean by that? Well, I think healing is by nature communal. And I think that to be a place where the kingdom of God flourishes and people are set free, we have to be a place where it's okay to talk about problems and tensions in relationships. I think that also has to be the norm. To be a place where we can speak freely about struggles because we know and believe and practice that the grace of God is stronger, is bigger than that. I know that I have said this before, and at the risk of becoming a broken record, I feel like God has delivered a great parable to us as a church. That we have been concerned about very expansive and important things, and we should be, and we must continue to be concerned about the great issues in the world. But there is an irony that in the midst of pursuing the healing of the world, it became really hard for us just to talk to one another about what's really going on. That's a parable to learn from. I think that it has been a struggle for us as a church sometimes to speak honestly and to accept one another, to bring our issues and struggles and difficulties into relationship and work through it. I think one of the things that will determine what kind of church we are going forward is going to be whether or not we are able to tolerate kind of the emotional distress and discomfort that real relationship brings instead of avoiding it. There's that old chestnut that you hear on TV sometimes about how you, when a house is on fire, everybody runs away, but the firemen run in. I think it would be a healthy thing for us as a church to learn to run into the mess too. And so much of how much grace we're going to be able to extend to one another will revolve around our ability to tolerate just the uncomfortableness, the distress, the awkwardness of talking about things. Whether it's bringing them up or receiving them. But that will be a real strong indicator of what the depth of connection, the kind of community, the fabric that we share. Bringing issues into community. Extending grace, letting it be okay to be flawed and imperfect because we're working on it. And God's grace is bigger. It's funny, right? It should be obvious. We all know we're not perfect. We say that very easily. But when we come to those points where we have to talk about it and work through issues, it's hard. And so how much I think we thrive will depend on our ability to tolerate that and go there. And part of the problem is it's always been easier to leave, to exit, than to sit and dwell in the mess, than to deal with those issues. And we live in a world that facilitates that, you understand. And so my heart breaks so often because in churches and in every organization, you see so many people come to an impasse, and as soon as that awkwardness or the issues come into the relationship, they exit them. And it happens again and again and again, and I wonder, where will healing happen if there's never a relationship that you can stay in to work through it? And I think God has that for us. I think that he has strength, believe it or not, joy, energy for us to learn to bring our issues into relationship, to work through them, to be encouraged and feel like, yes, you know what? The gospel works. Jesus is good. We can get through things together and arrive somewhere else stronger, more confident, and more healed. Amen? Amen. Let's worship, you guys. Will you pray with me? God, we believe that you have healing in store for us. So I pray that you would strengthen our hearts and lift them up. I ask that we would be people who could run into mess, excited that your grace is enough, that we can sort things out, that you will be good. God, we ask that you would make Epic a place of great and deep healing. And we would be a church when people come, they experience your spirit at work. They experience deep parts of their hearts being touched and drawn out and valued and listened to and challenged and loved. And we pray that we would be that for one another. And so we ask that you would equip us and sustain us and build us up so that we could guard our hearts in the coming year. We want them to be places where you are at work profoundly and we are partnering with you. Lord, as we worship, fill us as we come and take the elements and take communion. We just marvel that you persist with us through the worst of us out of love and a desire to be with us. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's pray. God, will you send your spirit to attend to each of us as we leave here this morning? Will you make us healers of the breach, people whose hearts are open to you and being healed and are eager to help one another, the rest of the world? It's one of the mercies that we pray for in the coming year. So please teach us, Jesus, how to do that. How to guard our hearts together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, next week's going to be fun. I'm not going to tell you. It's a surprise, but there's some fun stuff that could happen, so you won't want to miss that. We're going to talk about worship. Floor space is going to start in like 7 minutes, so we can leave everything up. Bless you as you go. You're dismissed. Thanks, everybody. It's good to be here.
Until next week. For more discussions of God's Word like these, go to www.epicchurch.net.